Hello, and welcome to the Emotional Expedition Podcast. I'm Meg Thomas, and if you want to live a more open-hearted, magical life, it all starts with your emotions. This podcast will take you on a journey, helping you to better understand, express, release, and heal your emotions. Let's get exploring. Welcome back. Last Friday night, Ian and I went on a date night. Our friends invited us to see a screening of the 2003 NCAA championship game when Syracuse won 20 years ago. As we started to get emails leading up to the event, we started to form some expectations. It was going to be a Mardi Gras themed event because back in 2003, the game was in New Orleans. The tickets were $150 a piece. We were lucky enough to be gifted this event. However, when you see ticket prices of $150 a piece and Mardi Gras themed New Orleans style food on the menu, which happens to be some of my most favorite food in the world, and a description of heavy hors d'oeuvre cocktail hour, I set my expectations pretty darn high. And as for the screening itself, we didn't really know what to expect, so we had pretty neutral expectations. When we walked in, the building looked beautiful. The lighting was top-notch. The bar looked great. I met up with our friends, and they looked great. We looked great. And then I looked at the food. Not so great. They had some interesting slider sandwiches, some sort of cheese dip, and crudité veggies and plain beignets, the thing I'd been most excited about and still fantasizing about the beignets I had over 10 years ago in New Orleans at the famous Café du Monde. They came around with a few more past hors d'oeuvres, and I tried everything, trying to find the magic in each bite falling short. My expectations were not met, and I was left feeling disappointed about the food. But then, when it was time to go inside for the screening, we walked into this gorgeous new auditorium, this lecture hall, and sat in the cushiest of seats to face a gorgeously lit stage with New Orleans fleur-de-lis projected on the walls. And on the stage, there were six chairs. The Syracuse Orangemen announcer went to the podium and began by announcing the 2003 championship team, with almost everyone being in attendance, including our beloved superstar Carmelo Anthony. We cheered like wild, just as if we were at the game all those years ago. And the starting five, with the addition of Josh Pace, took the stage with Coach Boeheim. They started playing the game on the big screen behind them, and for an hour and a half, these players talked about what that moment in time meant to them. They talked about their teammates, their captain, their coaches. They talked from the perspective of being 20 years older and wiser. They told funny, really, really funny stories, things you would never get to hear, especially from a time before social media existed. And at one point, I looked down and realized I was actually sitting on the edge of my seat. Ian and I were holding hands and clapping and loving every single minute, getting to experience for the first time ever this moment in time together. We're both huge SU fans, but having gotten together after this game happened, we never got to share in this moment. And everyone around us at the end of the game started chanting, "Let's go Orange! Let's go Orange!" The walls vibrating with our chants, something I've only ever experienced at an actual game. Our expectations were exceeded in every way from the game. Our expectations about the food led to disappointment. And if you haven't guessed it by now, today, the emotions we're going to talk about are both disappointment and expectations, because you can't really talk about one without the other. And I want to invite you, if you want to go deeper into Atlas of the Heart, I'll be starting a new book study. This will be the third one at the end of the month, and I would love for you to join me. I will have an in-person option and also a virtual option, so you can join in from anywhere. You can check the show notes for more information. So let's get started. Disappointment. The definition from Atlas of the Heart is disappointment is unmet expectations. The more significant the expectations, the more significant disappointment is. Disappointment's one of the most frequently experienced emotions, and it tends to be experienced at a high level of intensity. And disappointment always, 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 always starts with expectations. And there's two different ways that we want to look at expectations. There's those expectations that are unexamined and unexpressed. And then there's expectations that are examined and expressed. And both can lead to disappointment. So let's start by looking at the unexamined and unexpressed expectations. Brené calls these the stealth expectations. We're constantly, consciously, and unconsciously setting expectations of ourselves and the people in our lives, especially those who are closest to us. Brené Brown says that the unconscious, unexamined, and unexpressed expectations are the most dangerous and often turn into disappointment. She goes on to say that when we develop expectations, we paint a picture in our head of how things are going to be and how they're going to look. Sometimes we go so far as to imagine how they're going to feel, taste, and smell. And that picture we paint in our minds holds great value for us. We set expectations based on not only how we fit in that picture, but also on what those around us are doing in that picture. This means that our expectations are often set on outcomes totally beyond our control, like what other people think, what they feel, or how they're going to react. The movie in our mind is wonderful, but no one else knows their parts, their lines, or what it means to us. When the picture or movie fails to play out in real life, we feel disappointed. And sometimes that disappointment is severe and brings shame and hurt and anger with it. It's a setup for us and for the people involved. Disappointment takes a toll on us and our relationships. It requires considerable emotional bandwidth. And these kind of expectations can leave us feeling bad about ourselves and also the other people that are involved. Brené shared a story in Atlas of the Heart that I think many of us can relate to. She shared that when her and her husband had a weekend together managing their busy schedules of their children, that many times they would end up feeling resentful and disappointed by the end of it. They came to realize that it was actually easier if one of them was alone managing the kids' schedules on the weekends rather than it being easier when there were actually two of them. Why was this? Well, it all came down to expectations. When you are flying solo or a single parent, everything falls to you and there are no expectations of receiving help, no expectations of having time to do the things you love. So even though you don't get to do the things you love, like hiking or swimming or pickleball, you're not left feeling disappointed because you never expected it in the first place. So how do we overcome this? Well, we need to have vulnerable conversations and reality check our expectations. We need to ask our partners, what do you want this weekend to look like? And be able to share with them what it is you want it to look like. This communication can help you navigate what are realistic expectations and what are not. When I read this chapter, it was as if Brené was writing it exactly to me, for me. Ian's schedule is challenging, switching from days to nights and back and forth all the time. And I was beginning to find that my life was actually easier when he was working than when he was around. And it was all because of my expectations. I would see that he had a day off on the calendar and I would start to fill it up in my mind with all the things I wanted us to do. And of course, never actually telling him of any of my plans. And then the day would come and maybe it'd be his first day off in 10 days and he wanted to mow the lawn, which basically takes an entire day where we live. And I'd be left feeling disappointed and resentful. And in order to overcome this, it's taken lots of practice and lots of vulnerable conversations. Now, on a weekly basis, we take a few minutes to go over the schedule of the week and ask for what we both need. I think that's what makes these conversations so vulnerable. instead of me just hoping he will figure it out on his own what I want and need, I have to actually state these things out loud to him clearly. So, for example, if I'm feeling lonely and need some quality time, which is my love language, then I'll usually start the conversation by saying that my tank is running on empty or running low and ask if we can make a point to spend some quality time together. And for me, watching Netflix doesn't count. I need a walk in the woods, a date night, a board game. I need to play or adventure. And these conversations are vulnerable, but they're worth the discomfort. Brené offers some questions that can really help us with this process, which she also recommends getting into the practice of doing this with children as well. What expectations do you have going into this? What do you want to happen? Why? What will that mean to you? Do you have a movie in your head? Are you setting goals and expectations that are completely outside of your control? These are great questions to ask. Now let's talk about work. Now that I find myself collaborating on events and workshops, I have to have these vulnerable conversations with colleagues as well. What are you expecting for this event? What does that look like for you? This helps us all to get on the same page and work out the places where our expectations may be out of alignment or a bit unrealistic. Expectations can lead to serious disappointment at work. Brené shares what it means to paint it done. Painting done means fully walking through my expectations of what the completed task will look like, including when it will be done and what I'll do with the information, how it will be used, the context, the consequences of not doing it, the cost, everything we can think of to paint a shared picture of the expectations. It's one of the most powerful tools we have. Here's some really great examples of unchecked and unexpressed expectations from Atlas of the Heart. It's going to be a great holiday. I've got everything planned to the minute. Is this a setup for success? What do you need from this gathering? And have you talked about your needs, or are you assuming everyone's on board? Have you shared your plans and talked about why they're important to you? Have you asked the other people what they want and need? Here's another one. My sister-in-law is going to love her gift and be so impressed with dinner. You have no control over her response. Is there something you need for yourself or your relationship that a gift and dinner won't deliver? If there's no response or a response that isn't what you expected, will you still feel good about buying the gift and preparing dinner? And the last one. I can't wait to share my project presentation with the team tomorrow. They're going to be blown away and really appreciate how hard I've worked. Is there a way for you to feel validated other than your team saying something? It's dangerous to put your worth in other people's hands. Again, no matter what you do, you cannot control other people's responses. These are recipes for disappointment and hurt. Special occasions. Special occasions are ripe with opportunity for disappointment. Birthdays, Christmas, Valentine's Day, anniversaries, which ironically enough, today is my 13th wedding anniversary, and I had forgotten that I asked Ian to not work overtime today so we could spend some quality time together. And then I scheduled myself to be working on this podcast all day. So once we both realized this last night at our weekly Sunday check-in, we were able to see what was most important to each other, and that was a walk in the woods with Bozzy and dinner tonight. It also meant I had to set an alarm and wake up earlier than usual to be able to make the adjustments. Setting the expectations. Brené shared a story about her first birthday with her husband and the expectations that she had that were completely unexpressed to him, and I'm sure we all have moments like this we can relate to. She woke up early on her birthday and found there was nothing in the house celebrating her special day. No signs on the wall, balloons, cake, a note in the kitchen, nothing at all. And this is what she had expected because this is what she experienced as a child growing up in her home. Birthdays were a big deal. Her thought process was, if I have to ask, then it's not worth it. How many times have we been here to this place? If I have to ask for something, then it somehow takes away the value of you just knowing what I want and what I need. Brené's therapist came back at her with saying this: if you're not asking for what's important to you, maybe it's because you don't think you're worth it. Let me say that again. If you're not asking for what's important to you, maybe it's because you don't think you're worth it. This is why communicating our expectations is so brave and vulnerable. And I also want to come back to this place where often our expectations have some tie or connection to our past experiences. Brené was expecting her husband to behave a certain way because that was how she was celebrated in her family growing up. So the next time you feel yourself feeling disappointed, try to understand where exactly your expectations came from. Let's talk about vacations. I don't even need to be going on vacation with my husband for me to do this. This last trip to Denver, I brought multiple books and journals, all with the expectation that I have this abundance of time and energy to be reading and journaling. I did not read one of them, not even a page. Unrealistic and unchecked expectations on my part. So if you're going on a trip with your family, the most valuable thing you can do is communicate your expectations beforehand. What are your intentions for this trip? What do you want to do? Why? How do you want to feel? What's the most important to you? And be sure to ask this of them. And if you're traveling with children, ask this of them as well. And the last story I want to share about unexpressed expectations is from a few years ago. At the time, I was struggling to make new, healthier boundaries with my family of origin. And in order to do this and figure out for myself what was best for me, I was spending less time with them. So when the 4th of July rolled around, I made the decision not to go. I've not always been at the 4th of July celebrations, especially being a wedding photographer for so many years, but I've also been to many of them. It's probably 50-50. So when I didn't go, the next day I received a text from my aunt saying how disappointed she was in me. She had expectations of me that I didn't even know she had because they were unexpressed. Now, I don't know about you, but when someone says they're disappointed in me, those words cut like a knife. I had to sit with it before I could respond. I had to let the sting wear off a bit and check in with myself. What I came to decide was I made the best decision for me, and that may very well have disappointed her, but I would rather disappoint her than disappoint myself. I've tried my best to live this quote from Glennon Doyle ever since I read it in her book Untamed. Every time you're given a choice between disappointing someone else and disappointing yourself, your duty is to disappoint that someone else. Your job throughout your entire life is to disappoint as many people as it takes to avoid disappointing yourself. So that's what I did. I disappointed someone else as to not disappoint myself. And it was hard to do and uncomfortable, but it was necessary for me at that moment in time. All right, let's shift gears, talk about the other kind of expectations, the examined and expressed expectations. Brené shares in Atlas of the Heart that sometimes our expectations are realistic, clearly communicated, and self-aware. And by self-awareness, I mean we're not unconsciously trying to get our needs met without directly asking for what we need. We understand the reason behind the expectation. When we are intentional and thoughtful about our expectations and things don't turn out how we thought they would, disappointments still hurt. Potentially a lot. And one reason it can sting is precisely because we were vulnerable and asked for what we needed or shared what we were excited about. This one's really hard for me. So much of my fertility journey has been filled with disappointment of the examined and expressed expectations. Here's some examples of this kind of disappointment. Your child auditions for the school play and doesn't get it. You apply for your dream job and don't get it. You tell everyone you love about the promotion you're going to get at work, and then it doesn't happen. You spend so much money and time and energy going through IVF treatments, and it doesn't work. These are all instances when we are intentional and thoughtful about our expectations. In all of these scenarios, we know there's a chance of feeling disappointed, And that's ultimately what happens. This is one of my favorite Brené quotes from the entire book. When someone shares their hopes and dreams with us, we are witnessing deep courage and vulnerability. Celebrating their success is easy, but when disappointment happens, it's an incredible opportunity for meaningful connection. What this means is in all the scenarios I just gave, if your loved one is experiencing disappointment, there's a huge opportunity to connect with them by saying things like, "You had such courage to try out for the school play, and even more courage to share with me just how much you wanted it. I'm so proud to be your mom. You had such courage to apply for that promotion or job, and even more courage to be honest about how much you wanted it. I'm so proud to be your friend. You had such courage to go through the process of IVF, and even more courage to share your journey with me and how much you wanted it to work this time. I'm so proud of you." How would it feel to receive any of these comments when you are feeling disappointed? If someone said that to me on my fertility journey, I would feel so seen. And I think that's all we want, is to truly, truly be seen. In the book Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski, great book, she talks about the three potential targets of change. And I think asking ourselves these three questions can be super helpful when we're setting our expectations. You have to ask yourself, is this the right goal for me? Am I putting in the right kind of effort as well as the right amount? Am I realistic in my expectation about how effortful this goal should be? Drew Barrymore recently shared a story on her talk show about ordering a swimsuit online, and she was describing the model. She was like, the model had cellulite and hips and these arm things, and she said she looked like a real woman. She shared how much this shaped her expectation of the swimsuit, so when it came in, she actually had real expectations of how it would look on her body rather than some model that clearly did not have a body like hers. This is a time when expectations can lead to a positive experience rather than a disappointing one, which many of us feel when shopping online, especially for bathing suits. Now I want to talk about a different kind of scenario. This is the kind when we've self-examined, we've shared expectations with someone, and we feel they've let us down. It's important to keep the lines of communication open, to circle back, and to talk about our feelings and move towards accountability. I want to share a story with you about something I've recently experienced in my life, and I haven't been able to fully move through it yet, so I'm just going to share it as it is, where I'm at now. I've been struggling to conceive for 6 years now, and the one emotion I felt over and over month after month is disappointment. Whether it was from trying naturally to feel the immense disappointment of my period coming, or from doing IUI procedure to it not working, to doing an egg retrieval from IVF to only have produced 12 follicles to which only 4 matured into embryos, eating clean and healthy, taking supplements, trying different herb and diet protocols, treating my body like a temple while doing 3 separate embryo transfers and having all of them not work. There has been so much disappointment, and I haven't even mentioned the financial costs and stress put on my marriage as a part of the equation. So you get the picture. Lots and lots of repeated disappointment. Well, this summer, a dear friend of mine went on a walk with me and started asking where I was at in my journey. And she was asking a lot more questions than the normal person, even a good friend, would ask me. I shared that I was exhausted and that I was almost done trying, and that a part of me really wanted to get off this ride that I've been on for so long. I shared that we have 1 embryo left frozen and that I would try 1 more transfer, but I wasn't sure I could bring myself to do another round of IVF. She then asked me if I've ever considered using a surrogate, to which I said, not really. It's never been a part of our plan. And up until this point, I had never considered asking anyone I knew, thinking it was just too big of an ask. And I went on to share that in New York, the average price to do it through an agency where you don't know your surrogate is over $120,000. an amount that I just don't have. We kept walking and she kept asking questions and I still had no idea where her curiosity was coming from. And then she stopped and looked at me and she said she'd thought about it for a while now. And she said if it comes to that, that she would like to be a surrogate for us. I didn't even know how to respond. I just kept walking, not stopping to feel any of my feelings, just going on to the next conversation. Eventually, we made it back to our cars and said our goodbyes. And when I got in my car, I called my husband to tell him what she had offered. And he asked me, "What did you do? Did you just start crying right there?" Him thinking that that's obviously what I would have done. And I said, "No, I just kept going. I didn't know how to respond." And a few minutes later, I hung up the phone with him and drove to the post office. And I'm sitting in the post office parking lot. And that's when it hit me. And I started crying and crying. At this point, I was finally able to feel the feelings, to feel the deep gratitude. And I sent her a text sharing all the gratitude I was feeling that no one in the 6 years I've been on this journey has ever offered me such a gift. And I was so deeply moved and overwhelmed that someone would do that for me, for us. I couldn't even imagine it. It just took this long for me to even feel it. So the next few months passed. I kept it in my heart and in my mind, but I was still on my own path, wanting to try one more time on my own using that last embryo we had. But then I got sick. In the fall, I started to have the worst SIBO flare-up I've ever had, which I unfortunately confused with thinking I might be pregnant, but turns out I was just really sick. A little sad, disappointing twist. And this is when I began to really consider my friend's offer, feeling like I just couldn't put my body through anymore. So I reached out to her. I kept my expectations in check. I assumed that I knew much more than about this process than she did, and that she was going to need to know more to fully make a decision. I asked her if we could set up a time to talk about it. And she responded almost immediately. She offered to come over and talk right away. And she said these three words, "I'm all in." And for the first time ever on my journey, I let the walls down. I let them way down. The walls that had been protecting my broken heart, my heart full of disappointment. We scheduled a time to get together. And then I went to work. I went into action. I contacted the fertility clinic to see what the process looked like so I could give her more information. I contacted our insurance company. I contacted a dear friend who's connected to the clinic who I could talk more candidly about the process with. I did hours of research online. I knew of a friend from high school who I hadn't spoken to in over 20 years who had been a surrogate herself for a family and had publicly shared her journey. So I reached out to her and she happily got on the phone with me the next day and gave me insight from the perspective of being a surrogate mother. The dream felt so alive to me. I could see it. I could feel my baby in my arms. The hope was burning so bright and my expectations were growing bigger than maybe I've ever experienced in my life before. This was the answer. So the night came when she was to come over and she sat across from me on the couch, my heart bursting with all of the knowledge and all the things I wanted to share with her. And then she looked at me with tears in her eyes, saying that she thought more about it and talked with her husband and that she came to a decision that she couldn't do it. I felt the air leave the room, leave my body. It felt as if I was punched in the stomach and I didn't even know if I could stand up. Every single wall I had ever had and about a million new ones immediately came up. I told her I understood and that I had to go. I had already been planning on going to a different friend's house that night and she knew about it. So she left and I went into the bedroom and in the complete darkness, I sobbed and sobbed. The disappointment crashing over me in a way I haven't felt before. And after days of sobbing, I finally started to take inventory on why this disappointment felt so big. And I think it was because there were both expressed and unexpressed expectations. The expressed was with my loved ones and sharing in the excitement and the planning and the visualizing and seeing it, even though I knew it might not work using my embryo in someone else's body. And then there were the unexpressed, what I had not expressed, because honestly, I wasn't even conscious of it myself, of just how vulnerable I was to ask for help. For 6 years now, I've been doing everything I could possibly do on my own, all on my own, with, of course, the help of doctors and healers and all of that. But it's been me, my body, me doing it, me making the sacrifices. Even Ian doesn't eat the way that I've been eating. I've been the one thinking that someday the sacrifices and the efforts would pay off. So for me to get to the place for asking for help was huge, really, really huge, and really, really vulnerable. And this was unexpressed to no one, including myself, who knew just how vulnerable it felt to ask another woman to carry my baby for 9 months. And I didn't know it until it was taken away from me. So, how do we keep people in our lives who have disappointed us? Because this happens. Maybe not this story, but I'm sure you've been disappointed. I don't know. I'll tell you what Brené says, but I haven't figured it out for myself. Brené says that in these kind of moments, we need to keep the lines of communication open, to circle back and talk about our feelings and move towards accountability. We need to say, I let you know how important to me this was, and dot, dot, dot. My friend and I haven't done this, at least not yet. I withdrew, which is a coping mechanism that I learned a long time ago. I stepped back from our friendship. And I do believe she had a deep desire to help me, but I don't think she should have come to me until her and her entire family were all on the same page. I feel as if she was reckless with my heart, and that if she really knew how much disappointment this journey to conceiving holds, then she never would have offered without being more sure. And I also love this person deeply and have for over 30 years. And I do believe we can repair our friendship, but it will take all of those things Brené listed: communication, talking about feelings, and accountability. I share this story with you because this work is hard. Learning to stay connected to our feelings and to actually feel them is for the brave. And I don't have all the answers. I'm learning as I go, just like you are, just trying to do the next right thing. Before I finish up this episode, I want to touch on a few more things about disappointment. Research shows that one way to minimize disappointment is to lower your expectations. Brené says that optimism can sometimes lead to increased disappointment, and I believe these findings are accurate, but there's a middle path, a way to maintain expectations and stay optimistic that requires more courage and vulnerability. Examine and express our expectations. There are too many people in the world today who decide to live disappointed rather than risk feeling disappointment. I don't know about you, but I would rather risk feeling disappointment than to live disappointed. People who choose to live disappointed may experience numbing, foreboding joy, being cynical or critical, or just never fully engaging. These are the people who live life expecting the worst. Disappointments may be like paper cuts, but if those cuts are deep enough, or if we accumulate them over a lifetime, they can leave us seriously wounded. Yes, it takes courage to reality check, communicate, and dig into the intentions behind our expectations, but that exercise and vulnerability helps us maintain meaningful connection with ourselves and others. I want to share a few journaling prompts. These are from Glennon Doyle. They're from that journal that she had to go with Untamed, and I'll include them in the show notes so you can see and do them for yourselves. So these are journaling about ideals and expectations that you grew up with. What were you taught to believe makes a good daughter or child? What have you been conditioned to believe makes a good partner? What were you trained to believe makes a good friend? What did your family, culture, and world teach you to believe about what makes a good mother? What expectations are you ready and willing to let go of? When have you made a decision that defied expectations that your family, your community, your workplace, or the world had of you? What are some things that you've denied yourself because they don't fit with others' expectations? And I'll put those in the show notes. And last, I want to leave you with probably one of the most beautiful poems ever written. It's called The Invitation by Oriah Mountain Dreamer. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow, if you've been opened by life's betrayals, or have become shriveled and closed from fear and further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it or fade it or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own, if you can dance with the wildness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful, to be realistic, to remember the limitations of being human. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling me is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself, if you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul, if you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty even when it's not pretty every day, and if you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand at the edge of the lake and shout to the silver of the full moon, yes. It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after the night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done to feed the children. It doesn't interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you've studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else fails away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and truly like the company you keep in the empty moments. By Oriah Mountain Dreamer. And now, go on. Go be brave enough.
I'm so grateful you're here. Thank you for listening. And if you loved this episode, will you please share it with a friend or two? Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts so you're sure to never miss a single episode.
This podcast is part of the Sound Advice FM network. Sound Advice FM, women's voices amplified.